This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد إن شاء الله. So today we're going to study إن شاء الله the فاعل again. Last week's video got lost, so I'll do it again this week. It helps to do it more than once anyway. So الفاعل is the subject in a verb-based sentence. That's what a فاعل is. The subject in a verb-based sentence. The Imam Al-Ajurrumi within the text, he defines it: هو الاسم المرفوع المذكور قبله فعله. الاسم المرفوع المذكور قبله فعله. فعله. So the noun, اسم المرفوع, is the state of مرفوع, state of رفع. You can say المذكور قبله فعله, that is preceded. By its verb. All right. So just to make that clear, in case you're still not sure, sentences. So we have a noun-based sentence. A noun-based sentence. First, we have a noun. And then we have another noun. That's how it works. Noun, then a noun. A verb-based sentence. We have a verb, and then a noun. Of course, in Arabic, we start from the right to the left, right? So we're going this way. And then we have complex sentences. And that is where either you have a verb-based sentence within a noun-based sentence, or a noun-based sentence within a verb-based sentence. Either way, they're a bit complex. I'll give an example of it, where, for example, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but I'll give you one, is when you have a noun, and then a verb, and you're going this way. So it starts with a noun, but then you have a verb after it. So in general, it's a noun-based sentence because it starts with a noun, so in general. But then this one over here is a verb-based sentence. So you have a verb-based within a noun-based sentence. So these are the three types of sentences. So when we say the word fa'il, we were referring specifically to verb-based sentences. Specifically, right? Now the thing is, every verb is a sentence within itself. So it'll always have a fa'il, right? But the fa'il has to be a part of a verb-based sentence. You will not, meaning you will never find a fa'il in a sentence that looks like this, that is noun-based with a noun and a noun. Neither of these will ever be a fa'il, because there's no verb around it. Okay, that's an important difference. Because we'll be studying other words like mubtada and khabar, they'll also be subjects, and you'll be like, well, we study the subject. Yeah, but we study a subject in a verb-based sentence, not in a noun-based sentence. They're a bit different. Well, if it's not philosophically, but just grammatically, there are differences. Okay, so it is اسم المرفوع المذكور قبله فعله. This noun that is in state of مرفوع that is preceded by its verb. Can I remind you quickly of what مرفوع is and منصوب? So there's the statuses, right? Of flexible, grammatically flexible words, right? Of grammatically flexible words, right? So we have four statuses. We studied them at the beginning of this. We said Rafi was the big first one, and then Nasab, and then Jar, and then Jazm. And I told you that these three are for nouns, and these, and one, two, three is for verbs. A verb cannot be Majroor, and a noun cannot be Majzoom at any point, ever. What is Rafi? If we say something is Marfu', then what does that mean? It means one of two things. It means one thing with two conditions, sorry. So it's a main character. It's untainted. So nothing's affecting it from outside the sentence, or something. Nothing's added to the sentence to affect its status. It's main character, and it's pure. It's in its pure, status. Nothing touches, it'll be marfu', right? Now, nasab is one of two things. Either a tainted main character. So this guy here, but something came and tainted him, so now he's no longer marfu', he's mansub, he's less, or a secondary character. Jar, What did we say jar was? Unnecessary characters. Anything that's unnecessary to the sentence. It's additional, offer you additional meanings, but the sentence will survive without it. The basic ideas are in the sentence. They're just, these are additional stuff. Jazm is a neutral meaning. Meaning the meanings differ based on the situations. It's a case to case, because this only applies to verbs. Right? Only verbs for jazm. And that makes it a bit more complex. And study, as we study it along, I'll explain more and more, inshallah. So this, kind of leave that out. But these three are clear. You should understand them the way they are, inshallah. Okay. So what we're studying is what? An ism, a noun that is marfu'. Not a verb that is marfu'. We're studying a noun that is marfu'. So it's going to be an untainted main character within the sentence. Is the subject an untainted main character? Subject is a main character. You need it. If you don't have a subject, then you don't have a sentence. You need to, you know, if something's happened, you have to know who did it to an extent. Hold on. Right? So it's this now that in the state of marfu' or rafa', I think rafa' is a better way to put this, in the state of rafa', that is preceded by its verb. Okay. وَهُوَ عَلَى قِسْمَيْنْ ظَاهِرٌ وَمُضْمَرٌ. So there are two categories for the fa'il. The first category is ظاهر, and the second one is مُضْمَر. ظاهر means apparent. مُضْمَر means, now I taught it estimated once before. I'm revisiting the usage of that word. What is the translation of it in here?
Implicit.
What does that even mean in English? What does that mean in English? Do you have an idea what implicit means in English? Written? Hidden. That's what the mudmar. So applied. Yeah. Implied. Sorry. Yeah. Mudmar means that it's not. It's either. So what it's going to be is either a pronoun, or it'll be estimated. Right, so mudmar means, I think hidden is probably, no, it's not hidden, it's there. It's there, it's just, it's a damir. It comes from the word damir. Damir is pronoun, like, and that's what it's trying to say. So, ظاهر apparent is going to be a noun. It's going to be a clear noun. Mudmar is going to be either a pronoun, or it's going to be something that's estimated altogether. So, implicit is what he did, and implicit is what I'm going to do. Because I have no idea what else it means, really. I don't know how to translate this properly. But that's the idea. The idea is that sometimes the subject, the fa'il, will be a word, a noun that you can see. And sometimes it will be a pronoun, something attached to the verb, or it won't be there at all. And I'm going to give you three examples so that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. So, al-zahir, qama zaydun. So, qama is a verb, right? It could be qama, it could be yaqumu. It could be in the past tense, it could be in the present tense, doesn't make a difference. Got up or is getting up. Zayd. Now who did this action? Zayd did it. So he's the subject, right? He is a noun that is preceded by its verb. It's the subject of the sentence. So it's going to be rafu'. What is the marker of rafu' in a singular noun? That's the marker of rafa. Markers, remember markers? We talked about marfu' is the stat is going to be an untainted main character. Now what are the markers of rafa? Depends on the type of word. Sometimes it'll be a dhamma. Sometimes it'll be an alif, like in the dual form. Sometimes it'll be a waw, a noon, like within the jam'a mudhakkar salam, the masculine sound plural. Or it could be, what else could it be? Thubut al-nun in a verb, right? But we don't need that. We're not talking about that. Or it could be a waw, for example, in the five exceptional nouns, right? So depending on the type of word, we'll have the marker of rafa'. It'll differ one, but it's all marfu' at the end. I mean, the status is still rafa', regardless of the marker. So qama zaydun. Here's an example of a fa'il that is a parent verb, and then immediately you have the subject after it. It's a noun. Now mudmar. Let's talk about pronoun.
Thank you.
أتينا, or let's use the same verb. قمنا. Right? أتينا, we came. The verb is first. قمنا, we stood up. The verb is first. What is the subject here? It's this guy. This guy is the subject. It's a pronoun. Yeah, it's not. It's a pronoun. It's not a full word, right? It's actually attached to the to the verb itself, right? So that's an example of a pronoun, of the fa'il being a pronoun. It's not actually a noun. Well, you say, well, you just said it's a noun. Yeah, it's a noun in theory. Philosophically, it's a noun. We are people. We're nouns, meaning when we're called, you're not going to call me as a verb. I'm not a verb. I mean, when you call me my name, I'm a noun, right? That's what I'm going to end up being on paper, right, when you're right. So, but we're not actually calling who did it by name. We didn't say Qama, Adnan, Hafidhu, Khalil, Bassam. We said Qumna. So instead of calling all the fawa'il, these are all the subjects, we took a pronoun instead of it. But it's substituting a number of fa'il. So yes, the fa'il, the subject, is always a noun, and sometimes it'll be something that substitutes the noun. What substitutes the noun? Pronoun, and sometimes an estimation. An estimated dhamir. I'll give you an example. Qama. That's a sentence. Qama. How would you translate it in Arabic? What would you say in English? He. You say he. Why say he? Where is he? Shu Khalil, ala kayfak? You're going to start making things up, Khalil? He's understood. Yes, so it's estimated. Meaning, when you say qama, we've had a conversation before this, and we were talking about someone. And that someone, there's an understanding of who that is. So qama, the fa'il, the subject, is an estimated huwa. He got up. Exactly, it was huwa. If it was qamat, he would say hiya. It was a feminine pronoun, right? So it's mudmar. I'm good to say that this is actually a pronoun. The pronoun will be written or verbalized, vocalized, like it's said, or an estimated pronoun. That's probably how we should break it down. Meaning these are pronouns. Huh? Sometimes a pronoun will be written, قُمْنَا, and sometimes it will be estimated. Does that make sense in general? Yeah, so these are the three types of fawail. Now, this is the noun, this is what we talk about. These two substitute the noun, right? The noun can always be substituted by a pronoun. It can always be substituted. You understand that? But even in English, that's quite clear. Examples. If you al madrasa, school, that's a noun. Is there a pronoun for it? You say hadihi, or hiya, or tilka, right? So in Arabic, hadi and tilka don't add up as estimated pronouns. Estimated pronouns have to be something like hiya. So it's just based on whether it's feminine or it's masculine. It's a masculine noun, a feminine noun, then it gets here as its estimated pronoun.
Yeah, but if you just said al madrasa, that is just saying.
So I'll give you an example. In Surah Yusuf, وجاءت سيارة فأرسلوا واردهم فأدلى دلوة. صح؟ So جاءت, جاء is a past tense verb, correct? Now who did the verb of coming, of arriving? Right, the سيارة, it wasn't a car, it was a group of people, a caravan. They used to call caravans سيارة, then we called it cars later on. So سيارة is the subject here, this is the subject. It's an apparent subject. It's going to be marfu'. What is the marker of rafa' in a singular noun? Dhamma. Ja'at sayyaratun. Right? Now, let's say you want to talk about this same caravan that came, but we've already talked about, we used the word too many times. So I said, ja'at. You asked me about the sayyara. I told you ja'at. That's what my answer. That's a full sentence. But where's the subject?
It's like already in the conversation.
Yeah, so it's implied. It's understood. Now, what is the pronoun that substitutes it in that estimation? You don't say the estimated pronoun is sayara. You say, yeah, the estimated subject, sorry, is sayara. You say it's an estimated subject, and the pronoun for it is hiya. She. Does that make sense? In Arabic, all words are either he or she. Does Arabic have it? It's either huwa or hiya. You don't have it. In English, you have he, she, and it. It is something that has no, that is not conscious, right? Or doesn't have life. So when you talk about the sun, you say it. Now some people, if they're poets, they'll call it she, if they want to give it life, right? But that's, you know, poets will give life through English language. In the Arabic language, we're all poets, so we never call anything it. It's either huwa or hiya. We don't have any... Everything has some entity that we see. Okay. So this is what you need to learn, basically. Understand what the fa'il is, what the subject is, the word fa'il is a subject in a verb-based sentence. The way the Imam al-Ajurrumi defines it is اسم مرفوع مذكور قبله فعله, the noun that is in the state of rafi' that is preceded by its verb. مذكور قبله, something that is mentioned before it, فعله, which is the verb. Yes? المذكور قبله فعله. Right? And then we broke it down, قال إمام وهو على قسمين ظاهر ظاهر ومضمر فالظاهر نحو قولك. Now he's going to give us examples of apparent noun, subjects. Now he gives very repetitive and difficult examples that are almost useless to use a million times. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them out, tell you what they mean, then give my own examples, or we can come up with our own examples for apparent subjects. So what the Imam said, he said, فَالظَّاهِرُ نَحْوَ قَوْلِكَ. The apparent subject is like when you say قَامَ زَيْدٌ وَيَقُومُ زَيْدٌ. Zayd got up, or Zayd is getting up. And that is for a singular subject, a subject that is a singular noun. ثُمَّ قَالْ وَقَامَ الزَّيْدَانِ وَيَقُومُ الزَّيْدَانِ. The two Zaids got up, or the two Zaids are getting up. And that is, for example, that's an example of a subject that is in the dual form. وَقَامَ الزَّيْدُونَ وَيَقُومُ الزَّيْدُونَ. All the Zaids got up, or all the Zaids are getting up. I don't know why he chose to give examples like this, but this is what he did in the Matin. And then he gave example of, that is of course the masculine sound plural. Then he's going to give an example of the broken plural. So he said, قَامَ الرِّجَالُ وَيَقُومُ الرِّجَالُ. The men got up, or the men are getting up. Then he gave an example of the singular feminine noun, قَامَتْ هِنْدٌ وَتَقُومُ هِنْدٌ. And then he gave an example of a dual feminine, instead of a dual masculine, dual feminine. فقال وقامت الهندان وتقوم الهندان. The two hinds got up, or the two hinds are getting up. And then he gave example of جمع مؤنث سالم, the feminine sound plural. قامت الهندات وتقوم الهندات. All the hinds got up or are getting up. وقامت الهنود وتقوم الهنود. He gave an example of a broken plural that is in the feminine. In a feminine form, قامت الهنود تقوم الهنود. Hunuds got up or getting up. وقام أخوك ويقوم أخوك. He used the five exceptional nouns. Your brother got up or is getting up. وقام غلامي ويقوم غلامي. And here he gave an example of a subject that has lost its marker at the end of it. My son got up, or my son is getting up. وما أشبه ذلك, and the different examples. So what we're going to do is we're going to take, we read those examples, I'm going to give you my own so that we can make sense, inshallah, of what this is. Can you see, find a blue marker for me in there that works? So let's start with the first type of subject. Let's start with the masculine. Thank you. Masculine singular noun. And the feminine singular noun. Take the singular nouns first. So who can give me examples of masculine singular noun and a feminine singular noun? So a masculine singular noun. Yes? Masculine, feminine, or masculine, feminine singular, sorry, masculine singular, what are we talking about? Feminine as in, مؤنث. This is مذكر. This is mu'annath.
So kitab.
Kitab. So give me an example of a sentence with where kitab is a subject. I mean, there's a verb before it.
Futiha
kitab. Futiha, remember that's a passive verb. We did all the passive verbs. What comes after a passive verb is a na'ib fa'il. Is a substitute of the fa'il. We don't want the passive verbs, we want direct verbs. That way, qara'a, did the book read itself? Who read the book? So Zayd is now the, right? It's okay, it just helps you kind of think. I'll give you an example, that's good. So I'll give you an example here. Qala al-Rasulu. Qala al-Rasulu, wa qala al-Rasulu ya Rabbi, qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. So the verb here is qala, qala, said, in the past tense. So this is the verb. Who did the saying? Al-Rasul, that makes the Rasul the subject in a verb-based sentence. It's a verb-based sentence because the verb comes at the beginning. Correct? That we already established that a verb-based sentence is a sentence where the verb comes at the beginning. So we already have the verb, now after is going to come a subject. The subject is an ism marfu'ah, so it's going to be in the state of rafi'ah. What's the marker of rafi'ah in a singular noun? Is this. قال الرسول. قال الرسول. Right? Because it's in the singular. Yeah, so Rasul is a mudhakkar. It's a masculine.
Rusul is also mudhakkar.
What's the word?
Rusul.
Rusul? No. It's just these things change. We don't. Sometimes there are clear rules, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes هذه الرسول. Yeah, تلك الرسول. So Rusul is. But that's not a verb. I need a verb.
I'm just
so I'll give you an example to add that. قالت رسلهم. So قالت is a verb, right? So it's a verb-based sentence, right? The subject are the prophets, not the prophet, the prophets. Now the prophets said, so they're the subject, so it's a marfu. What is the marker of rafi' in a singular feminine noun? It's dhamma. So rusuluhum, here you see the dhamma. This is an additional part. There's a pronoun added to a, doesn't count in Arab when we're talking. Now, how do you know it's feminine? From the verb you know it's feminine. Yes, how do you know it's feminine? Yeah, so you have a ta. This ta here tells us that it's going to be feminine, right? Qalat rusuluhum. What other, can you give me more examples? Yes.
Naam Adam.
Not from the Quran, but that's fine. Try to think from the Mus'haf as much as you can. It helps you understand the Quran more. So Naama Adam. Adam slept. So Naama is at the beginning, right? So at the beginning of the sentence. That means a verb-based sentence. That means this guy over here who did it is going to be a subject in a verb-based sentence, which is the fa'il. It's going to be marfu'. What is the marker of rafi' in the singular masculine noun? Dhamma. So Naama Adamu. Alright, I'll give you an example of something feminine from the Quran. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ Sa'a is the name of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, right? The hour. The hour where everything changes. تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ, the Day of Judgment, or the hour happens, or occurs. So taqum, is it a past tense verb or a present tense verb? It's a present tense verb, right? It's a present tense verb. But it's a verb, nonetheless, at the beginning of a sentence, which makes this sentence a verb-based sentence. So whatever occurred is going to be the subject. The subject is going to be marfu', which means that as-sa'a, which is a singular feminine noun, is going to, what's the marker of rafi' for it? Dhamma. Taqumu as-sa'atu. Right, تقوم الساعة. Now, what evidence do we have that this verb is talking about something that's feminine?
Ta.
Yeah, the ta at the beginning of it, right? If it was not, you would have had another ayah in the Quran where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين." Right? يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. So, يقوم is a present tense. It's a present tense verb. So it's a verb-based sentence. Who did the standing up or the occurrence or getting up and being resurrected. It's the human beings, the people. The word nas is a singular masculine noun. It's marfu'a, which means, what is the marker rafa for the singular masculine noun? Yes? So it's yaqumun nasu. What is the, how do we know that it's masculine? Yeah, the ya and the, right? So here, it's giving a little hints here. Yaqumu. What's coming later is most likely going to be masculine. However, in the Arabic language, sometimes you can have a masculine verb and then a feminine subject. That's not a problem. That's accepted in a lot of different examples. And I'll give you a few. Yes?
Can I give an example?
Yes, please do.
Qalat Rabbi in Surah Al-Tahrim. Qalat Rabbi.
Okay, who said, who did the saying?
Qalat.
Yeah, so who did it? Qalat is the actual, she said, right?
Yeah.
Who said?
Qalat.
Who did? Who said? Who did the saying? It's Imra, it's Fir'aun, right? Is she in the sentence?
Yeah,
so what we're looking for, now there is a subject, but the subject is a mudma, it's an estimated pronoun. Qalat hiya. But we're looking for apparent nouns right now. That's what we're studying. We're studying apparent nouns where the noun is written. It's not estimated, it's not a pronoun. Yes?
What about
Yeah, that works. Ja'ahu al-a'ma works. Over here. So ja'a is a verb, it's a past tense verb. Over here, this is an object. It's a pronoun, but it's an object. The one who actually came is the one who did the coming, or the arriving, or the whose presence was al-a'ma, was the blind man, right? So he's a subject within this verb-based sentence. Now what is the marker of a subject, a masculine singular noun, what's the marker of it? Dhamma, but where's the Dhamma? On the word a'ma, where's the dhamma? Okay, let me finish this and you can ask. Where's the dhamma here? It's an estimated dhamma. So the dhamma is estimated on the alif. We don't pronounce it, we don't write it, but we just estimate it being there. Yes, give me an example, Ahmed. Yeah, but who's the subject? Who did the khalq? Where's Allah's name in the ayah? Right, so always think you're looking for the one who did the verb, for their name to be there, to be somewhere there we can see it. Very good. قالت العرب. And this is the final one we'll do for the feminine. قالت العرب. العرب were the Bedouins that surrounded Medina and Mecca, or Arabia. So the Arab said, so there, Arab is the subject, this is a verb-based sentence, qalat is a past tense verb. We know it's feminine because the ta is there, right? We know it's a feminine subject. Arab is a as a group, they become the plural becomes feminine. What is the marker of rafa on the word Arab here? What's the marker? Yeah, so qalat al-Arab. Okay, so we'll stop, that's enough for feminine singular nouns and masculine singular nouns. So just keep that in mind, that what is the marker of rafa for the masculine singular noun and the feminine singular noun as a fa'il? It's always going to be, right? It's always going to be a dhamma. Sometimes it'll be an estimated one. Sometimes it's going to be an estimated one. But generally speaking, it's a real one. Yes, go ahead, question. Yes, go ahead. Then it's marfu'. Whenever there's a subject, whenever there's a verb, there has to be a subject. There are no verbs without subjects, unless we're talking about a passive verb. A passive verb doesn't have a subject, it has a na'ib fa'il, it has a substitute of a subject. But if it's not a passive verb, then it's always going to be a subject, a past tense or present tense. We're not talking about command verbs. Command verbs don't have subjects because it's command. I'm commanding you, there's no subject here really. But when we talk about a past tense verb or a present tense verb, it's always going to have a subject. Sometimes the subject will be a zahir noun, sometimes it will be a mudmar, it will be a pronoun that is either written, verbalized, or vocalized, or it's going to be estimated. Regardless, it's always marfu'. The fa'il is always marfu'. The fa'il will never be, the moment you say the word fa'il, then it's going to be marfu'. There's no debating that. Okay, let's try with the dual form. Let's talk about the dual form. So let's say the masculine dual form.
Qalat
and the feminine dual form. So think of examples where there's a dual form. So a muthanna mudhakkar, or muthanna mu'annath. So give me examples of something where you can have a dual form. All right, I'll give you one. Think if you can come up with something. So, qala rajulani min alladhina yakhafun an'ama Allahu alayhima, right? Qala rajulan. So qala said rajulan, two men. So I'm going to have to do a quick refreshment of what the dual form actually is, all right? In case you've forgotten. So, if you take any word in the Arabic language, any noun at all. Give me a noun, give me any given noun. Khalil. Fine. Actually, it's not a name, it's also a description. Khalil means friend, right? Yeah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is called Khalil al-Rahman. Yes? Go ahead.
Noun?
Yes?
Ibrahim,
very good. Let's use Khalil. No, try to come up with something that's not a name. So Khalil is a friend. But let's say use Khalil as friend. So Khalil, this is the singular form. If you want to turn it into a dual form, so here it's only one. The one and only Khalil Fadl, we have no one else. We want to make two. I'm going to clone Khalil, so we have two more, so I have more students for this. So I'll clone Khalil, so we have two of them, right? Now we have two Khalils. In English, we don't have that. English is either one, or between one and infinity, it's just one difference. You just add an S somewhere at the end of the sentence. In Arabic, no, there's one, two, and then jama. So you and your wife are not a jama. You're just two. You're just muthanna. You're just two. You have to have a kid, and then you're jama. In English, it's a bit different. So dual is two. How do I turn it into dual? I have two ways to do it. Either I add an alif and noon, khalilan, or I add aya and noon with a fatha before it, khalilayn. So either khalilan or khalilayn. Are you seeing the application? There. So he gave me Ibrahim. That works. Ibrahiman or Ibrahimain. Give me more examples of nouns.
Kalb.
طيب, kalb. Kalban. Oh, kalbain. I can't hear.
Like king. Malik.
Malik, yeah. Malikan or Malikain. So that's how it's going to sound.
What is that? That's
when there's a mudaf ilay after it. Hold your horses. That's a bit far down the road. But yeah, you just take the noon can sometimes be taken off in certain positions. Now, what's the difference between khalilan and khalilain? Are there a difference? What's the difference? Who's marfu'a? So when it's an, when there's alif, this is rafa. This is the status of rafa is marfu'a. And this one here, khalilain, is either mansub, nasb, or jar. So nasab, if it's mansub or majroor, it's going to be khalilain. Doesn't matter. Only if it's marfu', it's going to sound as khalilan. Now, al-fa'il, is it a word that is marfu', mansub, or majroor? It's always marfu', right? It's always in the state of rafa. A fa'il will always be in the state of rafa. So if the verb is they said, someone said something, and these two guys did it, then this is going to be the fa'il, and the fa'il is marfu'. Right? And it's a dual form. So what is the marker of rafi' in the word rajulan? Yeah. Qala rajulan. Now qala rajulain. You say qala rajulain, then the person listening to you is not sure what you're talking about. Why are you saying rajulain? That makes no sense. Unless some guy's name is rajulain, that makes no sense at all in Arabic. It has to be, yes? No, the same thing. You could say qala rajulan. You could add here. Doesn't change the fact that the two men are the subject of this sentence. They're a subject and there's a verb before it, so it's a verb-based sentence. They're going to be marfu'. If they're marfu', then alif noon. Not ya noon. So let me give you let's put together something. Let me say So al-la'ib, the player, all right? So let's say the player of a sport, he came. So what would you say? if one player came? Ata or Ja'a, right? Can it go Ja'a? Okay, let's say Ja'a just for the easy. So Ja'a al-la'ib. Now if I told you that it's not one player who came, two players came, then what would you say?
Ja'a.
Ja'a al-la'ib. Ja'a? Ah, alhamdulillah, because I almost shot my head, myself in the head. Ja'a. So Ja'a. Al-la'ib. We're going to say two. So when you take the word la'ib, you're going to turn it into muthanna. You're going to add either alif noon or ya noon. Well, what is it? Is it marfu'? Well, it's the subject and it's marfu'. That means I'm going to add an alif and noon. I'm not going to add a ya and noon. So I'll say ja al la'iban. Yeah,
let's say la'ibun.
Wait a second. We'll do that in 1 minute. We'll come to the la'ibun in a second. Let's try something else. Think of examples from the Quran. Can you think of an example from the Quran that has muthanna in it? They have two things.
Never mind. Say ja'a
al-nasr. We're thinking of two things happening at the same time. Yes. Yeah, so can you give me a fa'il? Where it's a fa'il? Yeah, those are all dual forms. But is there a verb before it, so it turns into a, so it's a fa'il or not? It's okay. I'll give a word again, and then you guys can do the same thing. Let's do it on the feminine side. All right. So al-kura, the ball, right? In Arabic, that's what it's called, al-kura. So let's say I want to say that the ball flew up. Right. So what would I say? Tara. Tarat al-kura. Right, because it's feminine. So you say tarat. Now I want to say two balls flew.
Tar.
No, this stays the same. That's not what we're gonna change. This is the subject. It's marfu'. So right. So apply it here. So what would you add if it's marfu'? What would you add? Alif and Noon. So how would you add it? How would you say? No, you're right. So you add an Alif and Noon to it. How would you add an Alif and Noon?
Quratan.
So this guy who used to be considered as a Ta' Marbuta, now he's promoted and he's turned into a complete Ta', so finally he fulfills his destiny, he becomes a Ta', and now we say Tarat al-Quratan.
Why not Tarat?
So you can say that in certain situations. That's a bit of a more detailed study when it comes to applying pronouns to verbs before their subjects. So you can't say tarata al-kuratan. You can say al-kuratan tarata. If you flip it, then it works because you've already referred to the two at the beginning. But before that, you just say tarat. You can even take off the ta if you like. You can say tara, and that's fine from an Arabic perspective. Until the subject is there, you don't know. You don't know. The subject hasn't been spoken of yet. Only until the subject has been spoken of can you start adding a pronoun to the verb to substitute it or to add to it. Any more examples you guys can think of? Just give me a word and let's just build it on a word. Give me a word. Yalla, give me a word. Any noun. Yalla, we'll just do it like that. Any noun. Qadam? Tayyib. Why are you always interested in feet? Qadam.
Places.
Yes, qadam. So let's say we want to build a sentence with a singular foot. Right? Yeah. So let's say the foot walked. It moved, right? So is qadam masculine or feminine?
Masculine.
In Arabic, qadam is actually feminine. Hadi al-qadam. You don't say hadi al-qadam, you say hadi al-qadam. So this guy goes over here. Yeah. So it's over here. So let's say مشت القدم, right? The foot walked. That's a verb. It's a verb-based sentence. This is a subject. It has a dhamma on it because that's the, right? Because it's a singular noun. Now, if you want to make it into the dual form, how do you turn the word قدم to a dual form? Yes. Why قدمان? Why not قدمين? Why? What's the reason? Yes, because the fa'il, the subject, is always marfu'. And the way a dual form is going to be seen marfu' is going to be with an alif and noon. So you say al-qadaman. Now if I ask you, what is the marker of rafa' in this word, you'll tell me it's the alif and noon. That's what you'll say. Because why? Because it's a dual form. Because it's a muthanna. All right. No, the same thing. Again, you don't play around with the verb until the subject has been spoken of at least once. So either the verb stays either masculine, normal, mesha, or meshat, nothing else. And mesha is safer, you can just use the masculine form. Yeah. All right. All right, let's talk about the second group. You guys remember what a sound masculine plural is? So a sound. Yep, masculine plural. So jama' al-mudhakkar salim. And then do we have something like it in for the feminine? Do we have a sound feminine plural? Yes, we have a sound feminine plural. Are they the same? No, they're very different. So jama' al-mu'annath salim. All right, give me an example of jama' al-mudhakkar salim.
Aqdam.
No, that's not jama' al-mudhakkar salim. That's a broken plural.
What was the example?
Muslimun. So before we start with the examples, let's do the same thing we did a second ago. So let's take the word he gave me. So one Muslim. If I turn it into the dual form, it'll be Musliman if it's marfu', and Muslimain if it's mansub or majroor. Now, in the sound masculine plural, so in the sound masculine plural, it'll turn into Muslimun or Muslimin. And subhanAllah, the same thing applies for both. These two guys up here are marfu'a, and these two guys are here either mansub or majroor, one of the two things, right? Now a fa'il, a subject, is always what? It's always marfu'a. So when we take the word Muslim and you want to build a sentence on it, right, when you make it a subject, and it's going to be a sound masculine plural, what is it going to look like? Like this or this? Right? It's going to be Muslimun. It's not going to be Muslimin. So, let's say Qama al-Muslimun. Or something simple. Salla. So the Muslims prayed. It's a verb-based sentence or a noun-based sentence? And how do you know? How do you know it's a verb-based sentence? Yeah, because it started with a verb. It's very simple. It's not yani chemistry. It's very simple. What does a sentence start with? Verb. It's a verb-based sentence. Verb-based sentences have subjects after the verb, right? Who did the subject? Who did the verb, sorry? Who did the praying? It's the Muslims, right? So Muslims right now are going to be the subject. A subject is always marfu'a. What is the marker of rafa' in a sound masculine plural? The waw. Right? If you said salal muslimin, that'd be a big problem. People will be looking at you, what are you doing? Salal right? Muslimun, because they're the subject and that's what they do. Alright. Give me more examples. What other examples can you give me? From the Quran maybe. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ يَقُولُ is a present tense verb, correct? So it's a verb-based sentence, so it has a subject. The very people who are saying are the hypocrites on the Day of Judgment. That means this is the subject. What is the marker of rafi' in this subject? When I say the word subject, because you asked me the question, and this is what you were asking, is are subjects always marfu'a? Yes, the moment you say subject, then you're saying it's marfu'a. Now what I'm asking you, if it's marfu'a, what is the marker of rafi'? That is what's more confusing. The reason that we're studying the fa'il is because we studied a couple of weeks ago, we studied something called al-asma' al-marfu'a. We studied all the nouns that are in the status of rafa'. What are they like? And we start the first one we did was fa'il, subject, and then the na'ib al-fa'il, the subject of the subject. Then we said mubtada and khabar and ism kana and khabar inna. We said all these, so we talked about seven of them, and then tawabi', and we said that these are nouns that are in the status of rafa'. The moment you say fa'il, immediately it's marfu'a, right? So munafiqun, what you have to learn to pay attention to is what is the marker of rafa' in a word. So in the word munafiqun, what is the marker of rafa' here? Yeah? Because if you're asked why, you say because it's sound masculine plural. If it wasn't marfu'a, it would be what? Munafiqeen. If it was mansub or majrur, you say immediately munafiqeen. Wouldn't think of twice about it, right? Munafiqeen, that's dual now. Munafiqeen is sound masculine plural, right? Munafiqeen would be mansub majrur. Munafiqeen, now we're talking dual. We're not talking plural anymore. All right. اسم فاعل is the مشتقات. We're too far away right now to talk about. They're very different. اسم فاعل is more of a derivative. So it's a form of word. It's how the word sounds. The word لاعب is at the same with this is a derivative that is equal to fa'il. It sounds the same thing. فاعل لاعب. That's called an اسم فاعل. But the word لاعب could sometimes be a subject in the sentence, and sometimes it can be an object in the sentence, sometimes it can be majrur, completely unnecessary in the subject sentence. So not every ism fa'al is a fa'al, right? And not every fa'al is ism fa'al either, but they're different things, they're different studies. So let's say, let's talk about the sound feminine plural. So muslima, you have one feminine muslim, female muslim. If I want to make it into a dual form, what does it look like? Dual form. Muslimatan, right? Now, if it's marfu'a, if it's mansur majrur, muslimatain. Now, the sound feminine plural, what's the sound feminine plural of this? Plural. Muslimat, perfect. And I put it in the middle because it's always muslimat, there's nothing else. The other ones, we were saying, okay, this is the marker of Rafi' is the Alif, the marker of Nasl bin Jar is the Ya. Here, the marker is not a letter. The marker here is a mini vowel, is a haraka. So what is the marker of Rafi' for the word Muslimat? What's the marker of Rafi' for the word Muslimat? Say Muslima Tun. That's Rafi', that means marfu'a. And if it's Mansub or Majroor, if it's in the status of nasb or jar, it's muslimatin. When is it muslimatan? In what situation would it be muslimatan? Never. It'll never be muslimatan. You can never say that. If you say that, that means that's the only situation where you're completely outside the Arabic language, no one knows you. Muslimatan, there's no such thing. No sound feminine plural will ever have fatihtain on the end of it. It has to either be dhamtain, dhamma, Rafa' or Nasr bin Jar will be Muslimatin. Yes, Hamdi.
Can I give an example for Mudakkar
Jamah?
But
Aflaha. They succeeded. It's a past tense verb. They succeeded. Who did the success? Who succeeded? The mu'minun, the believers. Now, the believers are going to be the subject. The subject, the fa'al, is always marfu'a. Now, al-mu'min, if you make it into a sound masculine plural, it'll either be mu'minun or mu'minin. Right? Which one is marfu'a? Mu'minun. Right? That's why we write aflaha al-mu'minun. And if I ask you what is the marker of rafa' for the word mu'minun, you say this is a sound masculine plural, and the marker of rafa' is the waw and nun. Yes?
So are there any exceptions? Are there going to be any words that... The singular word is the same as the dual.
No. That's why we studied these at the beginning. That these are different. That the singular noun has markers that are different from the dual form, that are different from the sound masculine plural, that are different from the broken plural. They're different, they have different markers. Now if you're confused about them, go back to the first maybe four videos of this study, and you'll find that I break them down much more clear for you, so if you get confused with them, inshallah. And I'll make a handout by the end of probably this month, so you guys can carry it around and look at it. Now, let's use the example we talked about in terms of a sound feminine plural. Oh no, let's say... So give me an example of a sound feminine plural. Anything at all. And then I'll make a sentence out of it. Or make a sentence together. So what's one that's in the Quran all the time? Muslimat, we did that. Let's do something different. Samawat, maybe? Samawat is everywhere in the Quran. You find it in a lot of different places. So this is an example of a sound feminine plural. You went from the word sama, you added an alif and ta. You don't say sama'at, you say samawat. You change the hamza to a waw and becomes samawat. And that's what we did, right? Muslima, we added an alif and ta. That's all we did. We just added an alif and ta to the end of it. Jannat, right? Jannat. So let's say qamat is samawat. The cosmos or the heavens occurred, right? Or happened, or stood, or existed. So qamat is a past tense verb. Right, so it's a past. This is a verb-based sentence. Samawat, the heavens or the skies or the cosmos, are the subject, the fa'il of the sentence. Now they're always the fa'il is always going to be what? It's always marfu'a. What is the marker? We're not debating that. That's clear. But the question is, what is the marker of rafa' in the word samawat? No, it's a dhamma. The marker is either two dhammas for rafa' or nasb, or two kasra for nasb and jar. This is how we turn it into a plural. This is how we do it. We add an elephant, now it's a plural. But is it marfu or mansub or majroor? That depends on whether there's dhamm or there's kasratin. Yes?
So where are
they located? Alright? Clear? Yeah. What else can we give me examples on? Ja'at. Al-bayyinat. Al-bayyina, the clarifications came. Al-bayyina is one clarification. Al-bayyinat are the clarifications, all of them, right? So ja'at came. This is a past tense verb. The subject, the fa'il of this past tense verb is the word bayyinat. Now the question, of course it's marfu'a. We've already established that every fa'il is going to be marfu'a. What is the marker of rafi' on the word bayyinat? Right? Ja'at al-bayyinatu. Okay. Yeah, give me a sentence though. Give me a sentence.
What's another word for
Islam?
I know the slang word, but...
Nazalat. Al-ayat. Right? Al-ayat, verses or signs. Ayah is one. Ayat is the plural. Nazalat means the descended. So this is a past tense verb, correct? How do we know that the subject is going to be feminine after it? The ta at the word nazalat, right? This is the subject, this is the fa'il. Fa'il equals marfu'a. Immediately, you see the word fa'il is marfu'a. Now what you need to make sure you're understanding is, what is the marker of rafa' within a given word? So what's the marker of the word ayat? Yes. Is that making a bit sense to everyone? So nazalatil ayatu. Okay, so let's take one word and see if we can build a couple of sentences until the iqama. let's take one singular noun and then turn it into dual, and then turn it into a masculine sound plural, and then turn it into a feminine sound plural, and see how that works out. Let's say the word qalam. So that's a singular noun. How could you make it a fa'il, just that word itself? How could you make this a fa'il? So give me a verb. What was a good verb? Kataba. Kataba al-qalam. The pen wrote, right? So now it's a fa'il. Fa'il equals marfu'. Now what is the marker of rafi' on the word qalam? Qalamu. Same word. Let's turn it into a dual form. What's the dual form that it could be in? Qalaman. Give me something before it. What's a good verb before that? You can use the same verb if you like. You can say katab al qalaman. Right? You can say katab al qalaman. What you're saying is the two pens wrote. It's a subject. Subject fa'il equals marfu'. Marfu' means for a dual form, alif and noon. If it wasn't marfu'a, you would say qalamain. You wouldn't say qalaman. Now turn this for me into, we can't turn it into, can we turn this into a sound masculine plural? Can we say qalamun? No. Right? Can we turn it into a feminine sound plural? Qalamat? No, we can't say that either. Yeah. So it doesn't accept being a masculine sound plural, and doesn't accept being a feminine sound plural. Next time we'll talk about the broken plural, inshallah, for the fa'il. We'll end with that. JazakAllahu khair. SubhanakAllah bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.